From NPR and WBUR, I'm Tanya Mosley.
And I'm Peter O'Dowd. This is Here and Now. On the final day of a virtual summit on climate change, President Biden said tackling global warming would also be good for the economy. And he said his $2 trillion American jobs plan to rebuild infrastructure beyond roads and bridges was the way to do it.
When we invest in climate resilience and infrastructure, we create opportunities for everyone. That's the heart of my jobs plan that I proposed here in the United States. It's how our nation intends to build an economy that gives everybody a fair shot.
And just days after the guilty verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they're actually getting closer to agreeing on police reform. And the GOP is looking to South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, the only Black Republican in the Senate, to lead them. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now to talk through all of this. Rick Klein is political director at ABC News, and Aisha Roscoe is White House correspondent for NPR. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with Republican Senator Tim Scott, who has said he feels optimistic about the prospects of Congress passing a police reform bill. Let's listen.
I think we are on the verge of wrapping this up in the next week or two, depending on how quickly they respond to our suggestions.
Okay, we'll get to the details of that reform bill in just a moment. But first, Scott is not only the lead for this legislation, he'll also be giving the GOP response to President Biden's speech to Congress next week. Scott is not a household name, Aisha. What are some of the reasons Republicans have picked him to lead?
Well, in many ways, he has done what was almost impossible during the Trump time in Washington, is that Tim Scott, as the only Black Republican in the Senate, has been able to walk this line where he has not always agreed with former President Trump, but he was able to make some criticisms, especially when it came to issues of race, but still remain on his good side and still be viewed as loyal. So he's been able to, and when it came to the George Floyd killing and the protests after, Scott was the one who took the lead on coming up with some policing legislation from the Republican side. He has been a voice that has been able to get some credence and not necessarily completely polarizing. And so he's been able to shore up support from the base, but also from kind of the establishment Republicans. And so at this moment, it seems to be that is what the Republican Party is responding to by putting Tim Scott out there.
Okay, it sounds like he's able to walk that line. Let's break down a little of what's in this bill. In the past, lawmakers have stalled on stripping police officers of qualified immunity, which protects them from lawsuits. Rick, what specifically might Congress get passed on police reform?
Well, it's possible that the qualified immunity be extended to police departments rather than individual police officers. That might be enough to solve this. But this has been a major sticking point in the past, and there are many thorny issues. I'm frankly surprised by the optimistic tone that it's not just Senator Scott, but even some of his Democratic colleagues have taken in the wake of the Derek Chauvin verdict. I think there's a broad recognition about what that case and what the death of George Floyd highlighted about police tactics. We've seen so many high-profile examples, and it may just be that that is the impetus for the additional discussions that are necessary. There's lots of reasons to be pessimistic these days, but I think there are reasons for optimism to say that there are areas of police tactics, of oversight at the federal level, of regulations and guidelines that could come from the federal government that could actually be helpful in making this a productive moment as opposed to just a matter of pure tragedy.
But Rick, not a lot has changed in the year since George Floyd has died. I mean, in the past week or so, we've seen several more police-involved killings around the country. It's interesting because this is an issue that wasn't really right at the top of President Biden's priority list when he took office. Where do you think it is now?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you're right, it wasn't, but he talked about the racially motivated rioting at Charlottesville as an impetus for his candidacy. And broadly speaking, The way that he launched his campaign and the way he framed his candidacy, even through his rescue by Black Democrats in South Carolina, for his candidacy was basically dead in the water before that comeback. It is wrapped up in the broader politics of race. And in some ways, you could say, as an establishment white Democrat in his late 70s, he seems ill-suited for the moment. But in other ways, the promise of unity, the way that he obviously naming Kamala Harris as his running mate, the charge that he's given as attorney general, some of these areas suggest that this is something that he's going to take on in a bigger way. Now, how does he prioritize it when you've got so many other big issues around infrastructure and the environment and so much else all around the 100 days? That is a big question. But it may be that the deals that have to get cut will happen or not happen with or without him at the congressional level. He will gladly provide whatever impetus he can from the White House.
Okay, Aisha, on the issue of infrastructure, yesterday Republicans put up an offer, $568 billion as a counter to President Biden's infrastructure plan. It focused on things Republicans want to focus on, traditional infrastructure like roads and bridges. Here's Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito yesterday.
We're ready to sit down and get to work on this. I think that's probably the biggest biggest message we want to put forward is that this is important to us.
The last Republican counteroffer on coronavirus relief was pretty much ignored when Democrats pushed their plan through without any Republican support. Do you think this one on infrastructure is going to be any different?
It is not. It is, Democrats have said that this is way too low. So this in and of itself will not get traction if it's going to be the only thing. Unlike with the coronavirus aid package, though, there does seem to be more time.
It sounds like we
might have
just
lost
Aisha.
Yeah, Rick, why don't you pick up that question if you could?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at the price tag, and it's large by historic standards for Republicans, but it's only a quarter of what Joe Biden has said is necessary to address these issues. And maybe more importantly, it rules out the idea of raising taxes on anyone. It keeps intact all of the Trump tax cuts, including the corporate tax cut. So unless there's some give on the pay-fors and maybe some give on the scope, I don't know that there is compromise here. I think that there are deals to be cut, but they're just so vastly diminished from the definition of infrastructure and the outlining of the need that President Biden has put forward that I don't see him doing it. That said, they don't have the votes right now. And the reason that he has the negotiating window open is that Democrats need to open that window. They need Republicans to come on board. They don't even have all the Democrats on board for the Biden plan, even as he's putting more meat on the bones in terms of additional spending that he'll be outlining in his speech next week.
Aisha is back with us. I want to ask you about something else. The White House press secretary would not confirm a New York Times report that part two of President Biden's infrastructure plan won't include healthcare expansion or prescription drug coverage. What do we know about this next plan, which is due out next week?
Well, they have been somewhat cagey about how they're going to, put this plan out. Now they say that they're going to do it on the big speech before the Joint Congress that President Biden will outline what's going to be in this next part, which they are calling the families part. This is supposed to be the part that's going to be more on the quote-unquote human infrastructure. It's supposed to be focused on people, so like care work and things like that, how people are able to, do their work by being able to have caregivers and things of that nature. So that is what this next part is supposed to focus on. But we are still waiting for more details on how they're actually going to put it all together and what's actually going to be in this part of the bill.
You know, before we let you go, we only have about a minute and a half, but I want to ask you guys, this is Climate Week. This week, Biden proposed to cut U.S. greenhouse emissions in half in just 9 years. By 2030, he's saying, as part of the Paris Climate Agreement that the U.S. has now reentered. There weren't a lot of details on that plan, though. Rick, what is the big takeaway from this week's climate summit?
Well, it may be easier to get the world on board than the United States Congress. I'd say that in part lightly, but the fact is that these goals look better and sound better as broadly stated ones. But once you get into the details of what it would take, we don't know a lot about how you do this without congressional intervention. And Congress is signaling on the Republican side almost no interest in taking this up, almost mockery of the idea of these goals. So I think Biden is being applauded for his boldness. And there's lots of good words coming from the international community. But the follow through here at home is going to be critical here. And we're just not seeing any evidence of the political climate changing around that.
Aisha, you want to take the last 20 seconds and give us your thoughts on how this week went with climate?
The administration is arguing that they are on track, and experts say that the U.S. is on track, but they have to speed up very much. So those investments are going to have to come from somewhere if you're going to move the U.S. away from fossil fuels.
Aisha Roscoe at NPR, Rick Klein, ABC News. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.